Thank you, girls. They've been promising me they're going to do one pretty soon, and I appreciate that. Olivia's going to be singing here in another week or so. So we got to get you girls to singing for us. Again, we want to greet you in the name of Christ. Appreciate the specials, Brother Jack, and singing that part about on our knees. How many of us have been on our knees? No show of hands, but just think about it. Have I been on my knees this week in prayer? It is said, according to history and some tradition, that John the Beloved was known. You know, people have nicknames. One of the nicknames they had for him, the Lord named him and his brother, you know, Sons of Thunder. But he also, when he got old, had a nickname. They called him, how many of you know what it was? Old Camel Knees, because he had spent so much time on his knees in prayer that his knees were calloused and all, and they called him Old Camel Knees. We just got back from vacation last week, and I found it necessary. The floors were they had like ceramic tiles, so I had to use a pillow, so I guess we're a little soft today. It was rough on my knees, so I had to use a blanket or a pillow. And one night I used my flip-flops, but I couldn't stand that. But certainly time on our knees is well invested in quality time. Greetings to you in the name of the Lord as we're tasked now with the privilege of sharing you God's Word for us, God's Word. Thank you. That's why we tell you to warn me, Ben. I appreciate that. School starts this week. So, kids, come on up. We're going to pray for you. Now, we're blessed. I've seen this week, Shelby County is 300 short of teachers. You see that? There are 300 teachers short in Shelby County Public Schools. And you know what happens? They hire anybody that comes along. And you saw a teacher who was actually a teacher committed those two murders in Arkansas. Thanks to God we have some good teachers here. And anybody else works with the school system here, Brother Rick? Come on up. Anybody? Yeah, we got another teacher here, school administrator. Anybody else come up? We got some good people in our rural communities at our schools, and don't ever be afraid to go ask one of them for help if you need to. And we want you to do your best this year, and I'm sure you will. Make us proud of you, and we're going to pray for your safety. We never used to have to do this. Just in these last few years, it has come necessary that we actually pray for the safety of our kids going to school. Isn't that a shame that we have to do this? But it's the world we live in. And we're going to pray for you that you excel this year and that you have a safe, that you don't have to worry about those things. And know that you are around good people who are looking out for you. You know, that'll help you. We love you. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for this group of children you've sent our way, and we pray that you would bless them this year. We're thankful that we have a good school system here, Lord. Not perfect, but far ahead of what some children are stuck in urban areas, dear Lord. It's just awful. We thank you that we have a system here with people we know, some godly people in it, and we pray that you would bless them as they look over these students. Pray that you bless these kids, Lord, that they meet the year's expectations and not be too nervous about it, but just let the school year happen and to do their best, dear Lord, and to trust you. Lord, again, we pray that you'd watch over them and keep them safe and bless their minds as they learn and expand their learning process, dear Lord, that you would always keep them near and they would keep you near, Lord, that they would trust you. Bless this new school year in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. We love you. Do your best. Make us proud of you. How about a hand for these kids? We are blessed to live here, and I'm a product of the school system. That's not saying much for it. However, I didn't have to burn the schoolhouse down to get out. I got out. Finally. Finally. But if you have your scriptures, I'm going to be talking to you about the subject today about doing the Lord's work. We need to be sowing the right seed. You know, we're called to be sowing seed. And it's not always the case that people are sowing the right kind of seed. So we want to encourage people to engage in the Christian work and as a church. So this is to us as a church. It's to us as individuals. You know, it can be applied. Here's the thing about it. The beauty of this is the Holy Spirit can take the word. I don't know who it's to. I think, well, is this a message to the church? Is this to individuals? It is to all of us somehow. And the Holy Spirit can take it and find application in all of our hearts. Pray for us as we try to share God's word today. And I read this story this past week that happened in the northern kingdom of Israel. Now, I want to read chapter 8 of the book of Hosea. The prophet Hosea in chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. And he is tasked to being the prophet. And there were lots of prophets in Israel, northern kingdom, most notably Elijah, Elisha. There were others. Hosea, chapter 8, verses 1 through 8. The prophet said, "Set the trumpet to thy mouth. He shall come as an eagle against the house of the Lord, because they have transgressed my covenant and trespassed against my law. Israel shall cry unto me, My God, we know thee. Israel has cast off the thing that is good. The enemy shall pursue him. They have set up kings, but not by me. They have made princes, and I knew it not. Of their silver and of their gold have they made them idols, that they may be cut off. Thy calf, O Samaria, hath cast thee off. Mine anger is kindled against them. How long will it be ere they attain to innocency? For from Israel it is also, the workman made it, therefore it is not God. But the calf of Samaria shall be broken in pieces, for they have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind. It hath no stalk, the bud shall yield no meal. If so be it yield, the stranger shall swallow it up. Israel is swallowed up. Now shall they be among the Gentiles as a vessel wherein is no pleasure." Verse 7, the prophet says, "They have sown the wind, and they shall reap the whirlwind." Sown the wind. He's talking about the nation here that they've been sowing some seed, but not the right kind. We need to be sowing the right kind of seed today. Let's pray. Lord, thank you for your word. I pray that it find application in all of our hearts. We pray the presence of the Holy Spirit, dear Lord. direct our mind and thoughts to share your word with your people. And Lord, I pray that it would encourage us and stir our hearts. If there be lost people here today, I pray that they'd make a decision to come and to follow Christ. Lord, I pray that we'd all be more determined, that we'd be sowing the right seed, doing the right things in these last days. In Jesus' name, amen. This is the northern kingdom of Israel. It's known as Israel. It's known as Samaria. It's known as Ephraim at times and different names. But it is a kingdom that split off after Solomon's reign ended and his son Rehoboam come on the scene. And the 10 tribes rebelled against the southern kingdom of Jerusalem and Judah. And they went their separate ways. This kingdom lasted around 200 years. And the prophet Hosea is prophesying here in the last few of years. So doom is coming. And the kingdom was doomed from the get-go. Now, they lasted 200 years and had many wicked and vile kings and committed all kinds of abomination, but they lasted for 200 years, and the prophets warned them all the way through, you are a doomed kingdom. Now, they were religious, and they were practicing religion, and they were sowing some kinds of seeds, but the prophet said, you're sowing the wind. They were sowing some. The wind has no substance to it. That there was no reward of the harvest. They're sowing the wrong seed. Now, I want us to understand this northern kingdom here. From the get-go, they rebelled because they didn't like the high taxation of the southern kingdom. And so they split off and decided to form their own kingdom. I'm going to read you a couple of verses and passages to support that. And so not everybody understands that for a period of history, for about 200 years, there were two kingdoms of Israel. You had the southern kingdom, which is referred to as Judah, which is in Jerusalem and Judea, which is made up of two tribes, the tribe of Judah and Benjamin. And then you have the 10 tribes who left and rebelled and went and formed their own kingdom. They said, we've had enough of this. We will go our own way. And they elected a man by the name of Jeroboam to be their king. And he set the kingdom up for failure. And I want you to understand, and I'm going to read you scripture to support this today. In 1 Kings chapter 12, verses 16, you have the scene here to where these people of the 10 tribes have come to Rehoboam and requested that he lower the taxation upon them, make it a little easier, and he was not willing to comply. And so they have a set time that they're going to come back together and find out the decision, and the decision is not favorable for the 10 tribes. In verse 16, and when all Israel saw the king hearken not unto them, the people answered the king, saying, what portion have we in David? That means the southern kingdom. Neither have we inheritance in the son of Jesse to your tents, O Israel. And that means we're going to go our own way. Now see to thine own house, David. So Israel departed unto their tents. But as for the children of Israel, which dwelt in the cities of Judah, Rehoboam reigned. Then King Rehoboam sent Adoram over the tribute, and all Israel stoned him. Not getting any taxes out of us. That he died. Therefore, King Rehoboam made speed to get him up to his chariot and flee into Jerusalem. And here's the substance. So Israel rebelled against the house of David unto this day. Now, they're writing this. They were two separate kings. Okay, so they go down to what is known now as Samaria, eventually and make the kingdom head there in the capital. But at first, the king goes down to Mount Ephraim and rebuilds Shechem and sets up there. And they do the things to form a kingdom and economically and do all these things. And it lasted 200 years. But almost from its conception, it was set up to fail. And the reason being, it's set up to be an idolatrous nation. They were busy. They appointed priests of the lowest of the land. They went through the structure of religion. They done all the things. They had worship. They appointed priests. And they went through ceremonies. They done a lot of things. They believed in God. And they were sowing. But the prophet says, sowing the wind. What they were sowing had no substance to it. In 1 Kings chapter 12, verse 26 through 30, Jeroboam, throughout the Old Testament, when you read the old scripture and it says the sin of Jeroboam, you know, if you don't study it out, what we know there's wicked kings in this kingdom, Ahab. No, but Jeroboam, he stands out among all of them, and some of them was pretty bad. What is the sin of Jeroboam? I'm going to read it to you. Jeroboam said in his heart, "Now shall the kingdom return to the house of David, if this people go up to sacrifice in the house of the Lord at Jerusalem. Then shall their heart of this people turn again to their Lord, even Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah." And he said, we got a logistical problem here. The temple is in Jerusalem. If they go there to worship, to offer their sacrifices, they'll get loyal to Rehoboam and the southern kingdom, and they'll stay down there. And I will lose them, and they're liable to come and to kill me. If this people go sacrifice in the house of the Lord in Jerusalem, then shall the heart of this people again turn unto their Lord, even Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam the king. Wherefore? What a scheme. What are we going to do? Here's a scheme that turned out to be the nail in the coffin from the get-go. It became a doomed kingdom. Wherefore, the king took counsel. There's always some in the room who will go along with these things. None of these heads of states wanted to lose their position. They took counsel and made two calves of gold, and said unto them, "It is too much for you to go to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt." So a scheme to keep people from going to the house of God in Jerusalem, the temple, and worshiping, would be, it's too much trouble to go. It's a long way. Who wants to drive an hour to church, you know? It's a long track to Jerusalem, but his motive was he's afraid that they would get loyal back to the southern kingdom. And so he says to the people, to make this real convenient, we will make you these two golden calves. We'll set one at Bethel and the other in Dan. And this thing, the Bible says, this thing became a sin for the people, went to worship before the one in Dan. So the people went along with it. He was able to convince the people that this was the way around the logistical issue of going to Jerusalem. Pure, open idolatry. Golden calves, just like the ones that Aaron fashioned in the wilderness, and the children of Israel went after again. And the same thing, and you think, well, how would these people go along with that, knowing the history and what it brought their forefathers, but they did for the sake of convenience. And so the kingdom was set to fail. You say, well, it lasted for 200 years. Sometimes the arm of justice is long, but it bends toward justice. A day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as a day. But the kingdom was doomed. And the prophet says here, in what we read for our text, and this is Hosea, and he is prophesying toward the end of it. She's coming to an end, and the great Assyrian Empire will take them away. And the Assyrians were brutal, and they would keep the people and their ethnicity from assimilating. They'd break you up and send you, bring in other people. They would destroy that common bond of your ethnicity there. They would destroy you, carry you, disperse you around in different groups. Didn't all get to stay together like they did in Babylon. And so these 10 tribes somewhat become lost. Some of them stayed there in the land and mixed with other people and became known as the Samaritans. But the kingdom failed because they weren't sowing the right seed. They was doing a lot of things. They was having church in Bethel and in Dan. And they had their priests. They had all the rituals. They had all the things going on. They talked the good talk. They talked about the Lord God of their fathers. And they deceived the people here into buying into that worship. But it was outright idolatry. And when the prophets of God called them to task, you know, they would stone them and run them off. And they had to hide for their life. You know, but sowing to the wind. And the prophet says here, looking back over your 200-year history here, economically, it is said that at times the kingdom prospered, especially to the upper class of people, that they weren't starving. They were besieged at time and starved to death, but there were periods of prosperity in this kingdom. They made the economic policies work, again, especially for the upper class people, but in the end, destruction. In the end, they fail. And the prophet says it is because they have sown the wind. You know, the 200 years of your existence there, you sowed the wind, false doctrine. There was no substance in what you were living and sowing. There is no substance in the wind. There's nothing there. You know, you can sow it a seed. In church today, we must be very careful that there be substance. We can busy ourselves. Activity is not, doesn't really mean success. We can busy ourselves to death, you know, but that if we're not doing the right things. If we can busy our personal lives to death, if there's no substance to it, if we are sowing the wind, you know, if we're spending our time and our energies upon things that have no eternal value whatsoever to people. Our time is limited and we need to make it count. Amen? At church, we need to make it count. In our personal lives, we need to make it count. Only one life. What's going to matter is what has been done for Christ. For Christ. We need to make our life count. One biblical reader, James, says that what is your life? It's a vapor that appears for a little while and vanishes. Life is short and fleeting. It's fragile. And we only have a short time to get things done. And what we're doing, it needs to matter. It needs to be of eternal value. We need to be sowing the right kind of seed. Church, we must be careful that we're sowing the right seed. Now, the northern kingdom fell, and the prophet says it's because they're sowing the wrong kind of seed. And you know what they were sowing? Idolatry, all kinds of wickedness. What is the right kind of seed, Pastor, that we be careful that we are sowing, you know? And Jesus used parables about farmers and sowing often, and God's people at that time were familiar with the application of what a farmer would do as he sowed. Not maybe so in today's culture, but it still works the same way. Sowing the right seed in the right ground has value. But we must be careful that we are sowing the right seed. Right? Now, what is the right seed? The right seed is nothing other than the authentic Word of God. God's holy Word. The Word about Christ. You know, we can have goodwill seminars, and we can put emphasis upon making people feel better about their personal well-being and all those things. Maybe there's a room somewhere for that, but not in the church, not from the pulpit. You know, I want you to prosper and to be in good health. The Bible says that. That's biblical. But Paul says, I know nothing but Christ and Him crucified. While the world looks for a message to inspire them in their personal needs, we're called to task by the Word of God to continue to preach the old-fashioned gospel of Jesus Christ. The death, burial, and the resurrection of Jesus. That is the message that will get people saved. We can get them cleaned up and get them feeling better about themselves, but if they're lost, they're going to die and go to hell. That is the truth. People need to hear the Word about Christ. And we need to be careful that we are called to task that the seed that we're going to be busy sowing and teaching and preaching and sharing with the lost world is of substance. The Word of God has substance about it. It is not the wind. You know, you can preach the wind. You can share things that are not eternal. The life-giving Word of God, you know, has substance to it. And that is what people need to hear. The Word of God. And when we are sharing the Word about Christ, we are sure that we're not just sowing the wind. That we're just busy about doing things that don't matter. We don't have enough time to waste. We really don't have enough time to waste in this business of the kingdom work. Jesus tells a parable about sowing in Mark chapter 4. And it's written in the other Gospels, but in Mark chapter 4, I've chosen to read this version of it, Mark chapter 4, verses 1 through 20. And he began to teach by the seaside. Now, I thought about this parable that he began to teach last Sunday as we gathered down at Lakeshore for the baptism. And we can remember this parable about Jesus, how he got in a little fishing boat. There were so many people on the shores of here, the Sea of Galilee, that he thrust out a little and used a floating pulpit. And one can imagine what a serene time that was in the acoustics of, you could hear a pin drop. There weren't people talking. They had come there to hear the good word of the kingdom. And Jesus did not disappoint. He had their attention. The Bible says he spake as no man ever spake before. And he was able to captivate the people because he taught the Word of God. He is sharing the good news of the kingdom, and the people are hungry to hear good news about the kingdom. We're living in a world today that feeds us a lot of bad news, and there's been a bunch of it this week. We need to hear some good news and the kingdom of God is good news. So it says here, to teach them by the seaside, and there were gathered to him a great multitude, so that he entered into one of the ships and sat in the sea, and the multitude was by the seashore of the land in a state of quiet and stillness. And he taught them many things by parables, and said unto them in his doctrine, hearken, behold, there went out a sower to sow. And it came to pass, as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and the fowls of the air came and devoured it up. Some fell on the stony grounds, where it had not much earth, and immediately it sprang up, because it had no depth of earth. And when the sun was up, it was scorched, and because it had no root, it withered away. And some fell among the thorns, and the thorns grew and choked it, and it yielded no fruit. And others fell on good ground. I said, well, we're not always successful in our endeavors, even when we're sowing the good seed. When St. Paul preached the gospel, you know what it said? Some believed the things he said, and some believed not. But some did believe. Remember that. And others fell on good ground, and it did yield that fruit, and sprang up and increased and brought forth some 60, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. And he said unto them, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. And when he's alone, the disciples ask him. And he said unto them, unto you is given to know the mystery of the kingdom of God, but unto these without, these things are done to them in parables. And he said unto them, verse 13, know ye not this parable, and how will ye then know all parables? The sower soweth the word. We're supposed to be sowing the good word. In Matthew's version of this parable, he says, the word of the kingdom. The word about Christ. We can sow lots of things, and people need a lot of help. We got to try to feed them. We got to try to help them all we can, but the most important thing we can do to them is to share the word of the kingdom, the life-giving word. You know, food will sustain, and people need necessities of life. There's a lot of needs in this community. But the most precious thing that we have that we can share with people is to tell them the good news of the kingdom. Sowing the right seed. There's a place for these other ministries and these other things to do. But the right seed is always the word of the kingdom. Wow. He said, the sower goeth forth and soweth the word. Above all that we do, as a church, we need to be sowing the word. We don't need to leave that part undone. There are other things to do. I understand. I realize that. In my personal life, there are lots of other things we got to try to do, you know. But the most important thing we make sure is that we are sowing the right seed. 200 years, the Northern Kingdom sowed the wind. They wasted their time. They wasted the time of the people, and they led the people into sin, and destruction followed. Jesus said to the Pharisees, you can pass heaven and earth to make one proselyte, and when you have found him, you made him twice more the child of hell. You know, you haven't helped people. You haven't sowed the right seed. So let's be sure when we help people that we don't leave off the most important part, sowing the good seed of the kingdom. Our international missions for years, they have a policy when they go into foreign countries and all, they have medical teams, they have dentists, and they do all these things, and the people who come for these for the care of these things, you have to go through church. You know, you don't just come and get the free doctors and free dentists, but you also have to hear the gospel. The gospel. Don't leave off sowing the good seed. The sower soweth the word. These are they by the wayside. The word is sown, and when they have heard, Satan comes immediately and taketh away the word that was sown in their heart. We have an adversary. You know, he's going to make your job as hard as he can. These are they likewise which are sown on stony ground. When they've heard the word, immediately they receive it with gladness. We experience this in the world as we try to reach people. They have no root in themselves. Endure but for a time, and afterward, when affliction, persecution arises, for the word's sake, immediately they are offended. And these are among the thorns. This is the generation that we're witnessing to today. This is the culture that we're thrown in today. Those who are among the thorns. But we still got to make sure that we're sowing the good seed. Somebody can say it ain't any use in it. Yeah, it is. These are they sowed among the thorns, such as hear the word and the cares of the world, the deceitfulness of riches, the lust of other things enter in, choke the word and it becometh unfruitful. Oh, we might as well quit. No. And these are they which are sown on good ground, such as hear the word, receive it, bring forth fruit, some 30, some 60, and some 100-fold. So it does good, but we must be sowing the right seed. In Matthew, he followed that parable, or the parable about the tares and the wheat. And when the workmen discovered that there were tares sown among the wheat, they went to the good man and said, "Did you not sow good seed?" There's nothing wrong with the seed that we're sowing if it's the gospel. If it's in this book, if it is the word of God, there's none. God has given us the good seed to sow. You know, we don't need to look for better seed. Here it is. "Did you not sow good seed?" The good man of the house said, "An enemy has done this." So, there are a lot of churches that have given up. Maybe this don't work anymore. Maybe the seed that we've been sowing for all these 2,000 years, maybe the seed just ain't growing. Well, there is an enemy to obstruct. Now, they wanted to go out and to destroy the whole field. No, let both grow together until the time of the harvest. Leave the results up to God. We must keep sowing the good seed and leave the results into God's hand. God will do the judging. Listen, folks, for those who suffered through this 200 years of this wicked kingdom, many people died. Some of the prophets were stoned. And you know, it seemed like it's going to go on forever. But Hosea is preaching toward the end of it, and he can see the end. He says, "You've sown the wind, and now you're going to reap the whirlwind." There is no substance in what you have preached and taught and practiced in your religious life. We must continue to hold true to the Word of God. Continue to preach it. Leave the results in God's hands. The Word of the Kingdom. Oh, we get tired sometimes. We get tired. There are more people who are giving up preaching and serving the Lord. You know, there's record amounts of people departing, probably from the faith. And the Bible says that there will be a great falling away, an age of apostasy toward the end of the age. And we believe we are there. Amen. Signs, all signs pointing toward it. But we must not give up. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 11, verses 4 and 6, he said, He that observeth the wind shall not sow, and he that regardeth the cloud shall not reap. In other words, we can't be deterred. It's not favorable. You know, if we want to find an excuse to quit ministry, we can find it. If we want to find an excuse, well, it's not time and ain't right to do this or that. He that observeth the wind is talking about a person who, what, is looking for an excuse not to do the work of God. He that observeth the wind shall not sow. If you're waiting for the perfect moment, you'll never do it. If God has put it on our hearts to do some things, and well, I got to wait, just not yet. If you need to be saved, you're waiting for the perfect moment, guess what? This is it. He that observeth the wind here shall not sow. He that regardeth the clouds shall not reap. You got to get in there and do it. In the morning, sow thy seed. Hey, just got to do it. The work has to be done. And in the evening, withhold not thy hand, for thou knowest not whether thou shalt prosper, either this or that, whether they both shall be alike good. You don't know. You know, the results are in God's hand. We sow the good seed. We're not in the business of doing the results. That's God's business. Our part is we get to sow the good seed and privileged to do that. The results are in His hands. Do it and do it now. Psalms 126 says, they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. Oh, it's hard. It's not always easy to be a follower of Jesus Christ, and that's why I said, pick up your cross and follow me. That's why I said, count the cost. If you're looking for an easy ride, you're not going to find it. Be prepared for disappointments. Be prepared. You know, don't expect everybody to recognize you and go along with you. There is opposition, and much of it, and more every day. And it's going to take some tears. It's going to cost. There is a cost attached to the word. It doesn't come easy. There's a reason why John the Beloved was known as Old Camel Knees. He walked with Jesus. He saw the transfiguration. He saw Jesus crucified. He saw the risen Lord. And yet he found it necessary to wear his knees out in prayer to God daily until it calloused his knees. It wasn't easy. He went through persecution, was exiled. It has not been easy for our forefathers. We have come to the point to where we want something to be easy. Wanting something to be easy is how Jeroboam pulled that off. How did he ever pull that out? These people knew the history of God's people and the failings in the wilderness when they followed the golden calf. They knew about that. So how did they buy into it? Jeroboam sold it as convenience. We'll make it easier for you. It wasn't easy for Jesus, and He does not promise that it will be easy for us. But they that sow in tears shall reap in joy. There'll be a reward for your labors. He that goeth forth with weeping, bearing precious seed. He said, well, it ain't any use. Yeah, it is. He that goeth forth weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless. You have to believe that what you're doing is worthwhile, or you're wasting your time and other people's time. He that goeth forth with weeping, bearing precious seed, shall doubtless come again with rejoicing, bringing in his sheaves with him. Not everybody's going to believe, but some 30, some 60, some hundredfold. What we're doing has eternal consequences. When we're sowing the right seed, it has a potential to change people's lives. It does, and you must believe that. We get weary sometimes, but there's nowhere to quit. There's no rest for the weary. St. Paul would say to the Corinthians in 2 Corinthians 9 and 10, "Now he that ministers seed to the sower, both minister bread to your food and multiply you, your seed sown, and increase the fruits of your righteousness." He that ministers seed. Where do we get the seed? God gives us the good word to share. You see, when I share the Word of God, it is the Word that God has given me to share to you. We have God's Word to share to people. He's the one ministering. We don't have to make this up as we go. God gives us the Word of the Kingdom to share, and He will give us the strength and bless us to do it. We can busy ourselves, but if we're not sowing the right seed, we're sowing to the wind. And life is too short to be sowing to the wind. Let us be sowing the Word of the Kingdom, and then we will not be sowing to the wind. What we'll be doing will have eternal consequences. God wants us to be successful in our endeavors to the gospel. He did not set us up to fail. Wow, isn't that exciting? Jesus, the words of Jesus as we close. "Herein is my Father glorified, that ye bear much fruit, so shall ye be my disciples." God has not set you up to fail, but to succeed. His word is alive. It is powerful. It is life changing. Sowing the right seed. May the Lord bless you. Brother Danny, would you come this morning? If you're here today and this message has struck a tune to your heart, you've found application some way that I don't even know about. If you're here today and you want to follow Christ, we're going to have a song of invitation and ask you to come here in a minute. If you're here today, you want to get more active into this work of sowing the good seed. You want to sign up to be in God's army. We're going to ask you to come. If you have a special need in any way for your prayer life or whatever your need is today, we're here for you. And we want to be sowing the right seed. We don't want to be wasting people's time. We don't want to be wasting our time. The word about Christ, the death, the burial, and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And that's life changing. Let's stand together this morning as we sing.
Number 125.